Welcome, everybody. This is Frank Welty. I am the chair of the CCB Housing Committee. And it is Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. And this is our housing issues listening session. And let me give you a little background. Of course, last year we had a resolution that came forth calling for a CCB to be more involved in housing issues and to create a housing committee. I was asked to chair that committee, and frankly, because I've had a full plate, I haven't done much with it yet. So one order of business is that I put out the word a few months ago, asking people to identify folks who would be appropriate for the committee. And I got a couple responses, but I just need to circle back with them and see if they're still interested. And if any of you are interested after this discussion, let me know, because hopefully in the next, within a week, I will send a note to Gabe and make my suggestions for formally organizing the committee. And so if any of you want to be on the committee, or you don't, but you just want to be kind of in the loop and whatever, just let me know. So what we're going to do is have an open discussion this evening just about what you feel are the housing issues that are faced by the blind community. And some of you here on the call, I know, and we've had those discussions already, but we'll have them here. I want to start with just a little story. And that is that back from 2009 to 2011, I was the director of governmental advocacy and governmental affairs for the California Council of the Blind. And I would get calls for people about different issues they had. And there were two individuals I re recall who called and were basically just very unhappy, and they were in a difficult housing situation. And at the time, there honestly wasn't much I could do about it, at that time. But these were two individuals who didn't have a lot going for them in terms of their ability to cope with situations and handle, address difficulties. And really, they probably needed a caseworker or something. And at that time, I wasn't plugged into how to make that happen for people. But that has stuck in my mind, as that housing is an issue that affects the blind community that doesn't get a lot of attention. We all know, of course, of the astronomical unemployment rate in the blind community. And we do know, hello, DJ. And we do know that there are a lot of blind folks who are on lower fixed income. And of course, that means that in California, that means that being able to find affordable housing, and it is a challenge. And if you do find affordable housing, if you find yourself in a bad housing situation, it's a challenge to be able to have somewhere else to go or whatever. And when you're a person who's blind, it's harder, I think, to find housing. It's not like you can just hop in your car and drive around and look for which apartments buildings have vacancy signs out in front, right? Or scan the newspaper and look at the ads, and even now although we have websites, a lot of times some of those housing websites are not particularly accessible. So it's a challenge. And so that's why why the resolution was brought forward, to address this challenge. So that's my opening remark. So what I want to do is open up the discussion, talk about what you feel the challenges are, and areas where you feel that a CCB housing committee should focus its efforts, and ideas you have if you're aware of resources. First off, please do send me, if you have like resource information or contact information that's useful, email it to me so I don't, because I'm not writing anything down right now. So definitely do anything you have like that, please email it to me. But anyway, so let's open up the floor, and if you'd like to introduce yourself and say why you're here, and any comments you have about what are the housing issues that you feel are important for CCB to be working on. So just go ahead, and I'm not asking for folks to raise your hand. So just Just say your name if you would like to speak. Currently unmuted.
Hello, Frank. This is Warren.
All right. So Warren, we'll start with you. And I know you have a lot to say. So fire away.
I do. All right. So I want to start off by saying that housing policy, because I do a lot of policy, I do a lot of advocacy in the Bay Area and some statewide, but I do a lot of policy in the Bay Area. What I've discovered is that housing policy is very complicated. There is a lot of layers to housing policy, and if the CCB decides to get into housing policy and grapple with housing policy, I think we have to start by being aware of how complicated the housing policy arena is. There's a federal layer, there's a state layer, there's a regional layer. So if you live in LA, you have a regional government, or in Sacramento, you have a regional government like SACOG. And of course the Bay Area has one as well. And so, you know, and then there are cities and counties that all, you know, crack into housing. And so I always start with that idea that whenever we deal with housing, there's so many different ways you can crack at it. And it, depending on what you look at in terms of policy, there are a lot of different ways to deal with housing. There's homelessness, of course. There are mm-hmm. housing elements. There are so many different aspects to housing and how to deal with housing that, you know, for me, it helps me to think about, you know, where to start with housing advocacy. And then once we start with that approach, then I think we can then begin to think of what are our next steps. And that's what I'm interested to hear from folks on this call are in terms of policy, or what, you know, what are people care about in terms of, you know, of the policy aspect of housing. There's also the individual need, which is another very important thing. If you are homeless, if you need a Section 8 voucher, if you can't afford your rent and you need to move, you know, if there's an individual situation around housing, those individual situations are also very important, and that is a different realm of housing that we can certainly get into. So that would be where I would start the conversation.
That's a good starting point. So who'd like to speak next?
This is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Frank. Hi, everyone. Warren, I think you framed it nicely. And I am nowhere near expert in housing. And I am just, frankly, just getting my feet wet in housing on different aspects of it. But like transportation, housing has policy elements that you mentioned. And I sorry about that. I needed to stop my voiceover. I think it's a good start to get versed in policy. And of course, then make a plan to move forward out of policy. There's just so many directions to go. There's access. There's all these online things like Zillow and Apartment Guide and all kinds of things that supposedly are here to help people find housing. But what do you do when you find it? And competing in that arena is challenging for us. So I'm sure it's partly a part of a policy to think about how we would access these various apps and things, websites and things, to even apply for housing. So I know that might be a ways down the road, but I just wanted to weigh in with just being able to access things for people, and never mind the exorbitant costs and how people can get on lists and you're on it for 12 years. And by the time you get pulled from the list, you probably have left California or left in other ways. So anyway, that's my comment. Thank you very much.
Very good. All right. And again, for those of you who have just arrived, this is the CCB Housing Committee Housing Listening Session. And we're inviting folks to share your thoughts on what the housing issues are that face people who are blind and visually impaired here in California, and areas where our housing committee should focus its attention. So who would like to speak next?
This is Linda.
Hello, Linda.
Hello. This is a big issue and it's a big crisis.
Yes.
First of all, if you can afford to get into any housing, you'll probably end up sharing it with somebody. And then how does that work? Sometimes the match for sharing housing doesn't work, and that's where you get into abusive situations or just not comfortable. The other issues are not being a, if you find a house, which is really hard to do, because even if you go online, you don't have sighted assistance. You can't see the pictures of
right.
the house. It's hard to get there to go feel the neighborhood and feel what the housing, what the house is like. And so being able to access that information, you might put a deposit down on a house and find out that it's in the most crime-ridden neighborhood. And then if you do find a house, another problem is being able to move into it. How do you find
right.
somebody to help you move? So it's like it's all scattered around. And so I think that there does need to be policies. There does also need to be work on accessible housing where you can use the appliances and the things that you need in order to maintain your own independence. So those are just some of the big issues that I see that are really important in facing the challenges and trying to remedy them.
Yes. Very good. A lot of good subjects there. Either any one of those could be a program in the future since for us.
Yeah.
All right. Who'd like to step up and say your thoughts?
Currently unmuted.
This is Nellie.
Hello, Nellie.
Hi. My concern, all of the above, but I want to focus on the difficulty that older persons who are blind or people over 55 and older are experiencing in searching for affordable housing. And it's been my experience that there are lists that are available sometimes through private complexes that do have some Section 8 housing available. And there's also lists that are available through the housing authorities. But so it's really daunting because sometimes the wait for any of these opportunities are excessively long, sometimes years, and a person who needs housing right away because their situation is untenable, they're at risk of either becoming homeless or having to be placed in an institution.
Right.
So this
right.
is a big concern.
Thank
you.
Okay.
This is David.
Yes, David.
And there are a couple of things. First of all, I have a couple of suggestions. Disability Rights California, staff attorney Zinat, I'll write this out for you, but Zinat Hassan is in Oakland. She has been talking a lot about housing, connected with transportation, and also just in general, she held a forum on housing and asked people in the disability community throughout California what concerns they have. And there was a huge, long, long discussion, and she took a lot of notes. And I think it might be worthwhile connecting with DRC and working with them, because they need to start working on these issues. The other thing that I wanted to say is, how about a program where you and others who own houses discuss how you found your houses and you were successful in doing that? Because I think that would inspire people, and it would also give people an idea of that it can be done despite the hardships involved. And finally,
that's a great idea. Yeah.
And finally, today I went to a great Panthers meeting in the East Bay today, and we were discussing the whole problem of people who are really at their wit's end, because there are so many definitions of affordable housing. For instance, in Berkeley, we have one definition for low-income people, another for working poor, and another for people like teachers who are making a fair salary, but not the greatest. So in other words, and then you got market rate housing. So there needs to be some discussion about what is affordable for which group, and also how do you find out that information, and where do you get it? What people have already talked here today about reaching out and applying and going online and how difficult that is, but it's also more than that. It's where do you find the appropriate housing for you? You know, personally.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very true.
Yeah.
Good ideas. And David, I look forward to that email. I will definitely want to check, connect to this person.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think we got a couple more folks here who we haven't heard from yet about your thoughts about issues that are important in terms of housing for folks who are blind. And I know somebody I'm gonna
pick Frank, on. Hey, Frank, it's Sarah. You want to pick you on
read
me?
I was. Read my mind. Yes.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, I think where we have to start is really looking at, you know, the housing element, right? So, you know, the housing element is in full force as far as they're taking surveys, they're looking around. And what the findings are in most counties is that, you know, the housing that was supposed to be built over that, you know, 8 years was not ever built, or not much of it was built. I know in Fresno County, I think we're 40% behind. And, you know,
which
so
what, been
what
been
I,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And what I would like to see us do is really get more involved in those types of meetings. They've been to a couple community meetings here. And it's so important, you know, even if we could, you know, get a hold of people and host some virtual, you know, roundtable discussions, because, you know, it's not just about affordable, it's about accessible, and accessible means more than, you know, there's Braille on the door. For us, it means it's close to transportation. You know, it's close to services and so forth and so forth. There's a lot that goes into it. But that's something I would really, really like to see us get more involved in, is paying attention to that. And I love the ideas about, you know, buying a house. I think that that's really important too. And, you know, I'm going back and thinking about when I bought my house, and yeah, I had to go around and fill everything. And it was a good thing that I did, because they didn't put in the laundry room cabinets. And I was like, wait, didn't we order cabinets? You know, then we had to wait like 2 weeks while the cabinets were being ordered to move into our house. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be done on the ground in our local settings that really needs to happen. And we need to connect with realtors. Oh my goodness. So I'm taking this political academy class, and there's like four realtors, different types of realtors in that class. And they're fascinated with, you know, because they keep talking about affordable housing. And it's like what you said, W, the working poor, that's what they're focused on, but they're not thinking about for us and for, you know, folks who, you know, maybe, just in a tough spot. I mean, because of the pandemic, and you know, there's a lot of different areas, but we really got to start pushing people to build the houses that are needed, because there's just not enough. There's not enough for anybody, and we don't even want to get into. Well, at one point, we want to get into the homeless situation. I feel so bad for people, you know, that are trying to find, you know, resources, and they just can't get them.
Yeah, so. And I think I'm just gonna add, before I let you go and hear from someone else, is that I think that that is a whole area that we need to address this, especially because, you know, it is homelessness for somebody who's blind or visually impaired, because I'm sure that, talk about intersectionality, right? You know,
Well, you know, yeah. And there was a time when our local rescue mission gave me a call and they were like, oh, I have this guy here and he's blind and I don't know what to do with him. I said, well, talk to him. They're like, well, he speaks Spanish. I'm like, well, get an interpreter. And they're like, but he's blind. And I'm like, get an interpreter. He'll tell you what he needs. You know, but it was just like
talk. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, the blindness is not the issue. It's the fact that you're not connecting with him in his native tongue. I'm like, come on. You know, so there's a lot of work that we could really do if we're strategic about it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I think somebody else was looking for the floor. I thought I heard somebody trying to get in to make a comment.
Well, this is Linda again.
Yes.
I think that we do need to address homelessness, because I don't think we realize that there are several people who are blind that are homeless. When I worked at the Center for the Blind in San Diego, there were a lot of them. And even when I worked at Guide Dogs of the Desert, people would call up and say, I need a guide dog, but I'm homeless. It's like, well, I'm really sorry. But how can you afford housing, or how can you find housing if you're only getting like an SSI check, or you're not getting anything else? Even you're not getting an SSI check because maybe your immigration status is messed up, or maybe Social Security messed up. So it's a big problem.
Yeah. And you can, and it's pretty likely that if a person is homeless, that they're also not connected to a lot of other services as well.
Exactly.
So it's definitely a big deal. And I think there are a lot of folks that who are out there and we never hear about them, because, you know, if they don't have the wherewithal to find out the local blindness agency, or if they do call the local blindness agency and the blindness agency isn't, you know, I mean, we at the Lighthouse, when I was doing information referral, fairly often we would get people looking for blind housing. Like, you guys do housing for blind? You know? And they don't, you know, like, because I think everybody just assumes there must be a blind home, right? You got to go blind, you go to the blind home, right? Isn't that how it works, right? Right? No. And I mean, and these are like, even sometimes people from homeless organizations will do this. Like, where's the blind home? You know, there isn't one, actually. Yeah. So, big issue.
Frank, it's Andrea.
Yes, Andrea.
This is funny for me, because when I host for ACB, we're not allowed to talk. So it's kind of interesting that I can actually participate while I'm hosting. I'm going to muddy the waters here just a little bit, but I am a homeowner, and I know at least a couple other people on this call who are homeowners. Yes. Connecting us with programs that help us maintain our homes. You know, you get all these phone calls from people. We want to replace your roof. I get these calls constantly. This call is from the Department of Energy. We can offer you blah, blah, blah. How do I know? It's a recording. How do I even know it's legit? And finding people, this is a big, I've been divorced 6 years. I've been in my home for 26. And after my divorce, I really wanted to focus on getting and continue to focus on getting things done that needed to be done. I have an older home. Yeah. And finding reliable help and somebody that's not going to cheat me.
Yes.
Just plugging into what services I might be qualified for that might help me pay for stuff. Mm-hmm. It's you don't know, and it's I know that's muddying the waters a bit, but for me that's kind of an important thing, because and there are people who own their houses and can't afford to keep them up. They may own a house, but there are things that need to be done and they can't afford to do them. And there may be programs out there that can help them, but they don't know how to plug into those.
When I was living in Riverside County, in the unincorporated part of Paris, Perris, I owned a very old house. And at the time, I wasn't working. I had a medical leave, and I wasn't working. And when the earthquakes came, the house was in a lot of things were in disrepair. The roof, the back bathroom wall almost caved in. The chimney became separated from the rest of the house, etc. And I didn't have the money to hire contractors. However, there was a program through the County of Riverside. They had designated areas that were eligible for rent and rehabilitation grants. And so one could apply for these grants, and they were actually not a total grant because they would hire the contractors if you were eligible, and they would come and fix your home, and you could either pay it back at an extremely low interest rate, or you right. could just let it be with a lien on your house until such time as you sold the house, and then the county would get paid back. But there right. are lots of programs like that through counties, through cities, and it just takes a lot of research to be able to find out who has them and what the criteria are for people to be eligible. Ironically, I became employed, and then my income was just a smidge above the eligibility, so they never did fix my house.
Yeah, yes. That's the other issue.
Yeah.
Frank, this is Warren.
Hey, Warren.
First of all, I want to agree with Sarah. I think housing elements are very important. I personally am involved with housing elements in the Bay Area, and I think that is a piece that is important, and I think folks who are into the policy side should think about connecting with housing elements. One of the reasons for that is that all the housing elements right now are up for renewal at the same time all around the state. So this is a whole state of California issue that all the local cities and counties have to grapple with their housing elements right now. I also want to agree with Nellie about resources. I think one of the things this committee could do is think about how to grapple with resources. We don't have to do it all alone. There are people and agencies and organizations that are already doing some of this. And there are a lot of blind people who don't know about those resources. And one of the things we might think about doing is how to connect those dots. There are independent living centers that do a lot of this in local jurisdictions. And as Nellie said, there are cities and counties that have resources. There are nonprofits. There are agencies. I think one of the things we could do is this committee could do is try to think through how to share resources and how to collect resources.
Right.
And finally, I want to talk about the blindness agencies. I think this is really important. You know, oftentimes the blindness agencies like the Lighthouse and the Braille Institute and all of that, the blindness agencies tend to be the first line of defense when it comes to blind folks, especially folks who are older, and they tend
yes.
to get hooked up with their blindness agencies. If we don't have information and referral from those blindness agencies that say, yes, go to a CCB housing committee, yes, go to an independent living center, yes, go to another nonprofit, because frankly, I'm not aware of a blindness agency that does direct housing policy. So that information and referral piece is really important with regard to blindness agencies.
I agree with you, Warren. This is David. I think that this is a big issue. Blindness agencies don't usually deal very well or very much or adequately with housing and transportation. And those are two of the biggest issues we face. And I think that I would like to see more direct services. I know that when I reached out once to the Lighthouse a long, long time ago, and I was looking for an apartment and I was going crazy because I had to get out of El Cerrito for various reasons. I could not get any help from them. And I went to a bunch of places. I went to Jewish Family Services. I went to CIL. I went to the Light. And I was just going crazy until I found a few folks I knew who helped me locate some places, and I found a source that was, it's no longer available, called Home Finders, and I was able to use them. And finally, yeah. I found a place, but it took ages. It took several years, and it was very hard to be patient. And it was difficult. And I was, yeah. I'm a person who knows how to advocate and knows how to find things. And yeah. I can imagine what it's like for people who just totally fall apart and don't know how to deal with, you know, various resources and navigate websites and those kinds of things. So,
yes, exactly.
I'd like to see the Lighthouse and other agencies become more involved with housing and direct service.
I think that's an important one right there.
Yeah. May I say something?
Yes, Linda.
Oh, it's Patty?
No, it's Patty.
Oh, Patty. Patty, hi.
Yeah, hi. I couldn't get on. The Zoom link wouldn't work for me. I don't know why. But I wanted to say that yesterday there was a wonderful presentation in the leadership seminar. And I learned that so many things are really mandated by the ADA. And I think one thing that maybe you've already said this because I missed a half hour, but that we have to work on is accessibility of the materials needed to to apply for housing and stay in housing and all the paperwork and all that.
Yes.
Is that reasonable?
Absolutely. That's a big one right there. It's just that, you know, whether it's whether it's all these paper forms they expect you to fill out, or whether it's
websites, and then they have a website
they expect you to fill out. It's not accessible. And then
the portal isn't accessible either.
Exactly.
Now they have portals, so you're kind of on your own, and sometimes you have a worker that might understand, and one who doesn't thinks you're not just being compliant, you know, because you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or the fact that you maybe have to fill out an application for every single building, right? You know?
Yes, yeah. So
exactly, yeah. Very good, very, very good point.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you guys have shared a lot of great information.
This is Linda. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to share a story, and I'm sure this has happened to other people. In the early 2000s, I was looking for an apartment, and I found one, went to, you know, walk around and see it. And the landlady there said, "You can't rent this apartment. You're blind and you will burn it down."
Oh.
So I'm sure other people have, you know, experienced those kinds of comments.
Oh, sure. The whole housing discrimination thing. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I probably would, but.
I mean, well, yeah, no. But, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not particularly surprised that somebody. You know, it's a little surprising that somebody would be stupid enough to put it that way, you know, right?
Yeah.
I think it was obvious. She was supposed to go live in the blind building.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Frank, this is Stephanie. I know the committee has a lot to tackle, and you're forming and you're looking for members and all of that. Are you prepared tonight, and I'm okay if you're not, to kind of give us a little bit of your thoughts on a roadmap? And again, just your thoughts on a roadmap, not that we're holding you to a roadmap, but given this listening session and our comments and what lies ahead, and we know there's so much more, but, you know, we've chipped in quite a bit here. Are you okay with sharing your general thoughts about that?
I am. And frankly, I came in here with kind of an empty head, and you guys have given me a lot. You filled it up for me. Thank you. But I'll tell you where my head's going right now is that, first off, I mean, I think we need to, the committee needs to form immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So again, for all of you who weren't on the call at the beginning, if you would like to be on the housing committee, send me an email right away, because let's see, I'd say within about a week, I would like to send a list of names to Gabe Griffith for approval. So So just send me an email.
I'd be interested in being on it. This is Patty. Only because I've had experience in HUD-related housing for the last 35 years. And
that's valuable.
I'd like to help. I'd really like to help.
That's terrific.
With accessibility and that.
Yes. Very good.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is what I see... three areas that the committee should work on. And the first one is starting to do workshops. We've brought up a lot of great topics that would make excellent programs. You know, so we could easily, the committee could easily start, say, a regular series of Zoom programs on different housing-related topics that I think would be really valuable. If we have the wherewithal to do it, it would probably be good to start a column in the Blind Californian.
That dead silence means David is going to handle that.
No, it means I'm writing. And then two other things. The third thing is, I think, for the committees to start connecting with experts in the field, you know, of housing and housing access, you know, and build up our networks of experts. Because as Warren started off the discussion, housing is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need to call on the experts. And I'd say the last thing is for us to sort of collect resources so that we can do information and referral to folks to get them started, like wherever they're at, you know, like here's where you go from here.
And Frank, I don't know where this fits in with the plan. Many of us, if not all of us, are aware that there are people who suddenly become homeless. They may have been precariously housed for some time. And then the other shoe drops, and right. Now they're homeless, and they have no clue. I frankly, if I were in that predicament, I have a clue because I've been here in CCB for a little bit now, but years ago, I wouldn't know. And I know in our community here in Sacramento, I've experienced, albeit third party, the instance where a local individual sought assistance from a local church and the church did what they could. He just, I guess, however he got there, find his way into the church and ask for help. And so that's been ongoing, but there's just a need. And this may be beyond our committee, but there's a need to find a way to be, I guess, accessible, maybe available to someone who is in a crisis situation. And I think about suicide prevention, for example. You know, we have crisis numbers to call. You know, we get messages, we get PSA announcements, all that. But there's people out here who are blind, and maybe they didn't take advantage of services for whatever reason. Maybe their visual impairment, they really thought they could handle it. But now all of a sudden you're in a new dynamic. And this dovetails into transportation as well, but I know that's not the charge of this committee. But there's people who just all of a sudden, now I'm on a bus bench. Now I'm behind a dumpster.
I'm living with my cousin, and I know that if I'm here another 2 weeks, they're gonna get really upset with me.
Or they went someplace they thought was safe, only to be taken advantage of financially or whatever. Right. I mean, there's just a host of issues, and I understand we're not housing counselors, professionals, etc. But I don't know how to address that. So that's somewhere in the middle of things. And then lastly, there's let's just say you were fortunate enough to get in the door of housing, and now you've got the apartment only to realize the washer and dryer that's now inside the apartment, because that's what you wanted, isn't accessible.
And
I know you don't throw up your hands and say, I'm going to move out, but maybe you don't have the money to call Ira. You can't afford a subscription, and maybe Be My Eyes is a decent alternative, but you're trying to figure it out. And maybe you're in a new city, maybe for whatever reason you relocated and you moved to wherever, and you don't have Lighthouse. You don't have Society for the Blind. You don't have Braille Institute. You don't know what's in your new city, because people do move. Or maybe you moved and your family member said, hey, it's great here in Dallas. It's great here in San Antonio. It's great here in Phoenix. And you got there and suddenly they didn't have time to help you anymore. And now you're on your own. So however that looks. And I get it. We're not counselors. We're not the housing professionals. So I know there's only so much we're going to be able to do, but I don't know how that fits onto the menu of things you foresee for the committee. But I thought I'd add that.
I mean, I think it fits right in. I mean, it may not be our first or the first thing we tackle, but I think that we should get to a place where, not that we can be the one-stop shop, but at least that if somebody is blind and they're able to find their way to CCB, that they should be able to get connected with us, and we should be able to say, okay, what's your situation, and then point them in the right direction.
So that
we're in a position to get them connected to whatever mm-hmm. they need to get connected to.
Right. And we could be part of that, you know, no wrong door system in a sense.
Right.
You know, we can definitely do that. That's for sure. And, you know, something that I heard earlier was, you know, the need of materials, you know, being accessible. And I know this isn't a lot, but I do have access to Fair Housing Act educational materials that maybe we could reproduce. There's no proprietary anything on it. It's stuff from my work. And we also currently have a grant to do Fair Housing Act education. And, you know, my wonderful staff member that just started is going to need to do some workshops. So I'm sure we could have her do one for us. So that's something we can definitely.
I think that would definitely be.
Sarah, could we reach out for? Well, maybe we can't now because of our status, but could we reach out for some kind of grant to do some work?
No, not yet.
Because of our nonprofits. Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, all of that.
Sorry, I mentioned
really
it.
Hard. Oh well, no, it's okay. It's something to strive for. You know, it definitely is something to strive for, and I believe in not something that we need to do eventually when we can. Totally on board with you, David. And we also probably want to at some point have somebody talk about the Community Living Fund and how that can be helpful for transition and diversion and how people can access that. You know, mm-hmm. so there's a lot of cool things we can do. And of course, Frank, you know, I'm on board. I like housing. It's an interesting topic and I'm such a nerd.
So that's good. So what I'm going to suggest again is, if you would like me to recommend you to Gabe as a committee member, send me an email. Also, to the extent that you have housing resources, like maybe if you have a folder where you keep housing, you know, housing related information, then you know, zip it up and send it to me. And or if you have a coworker who deals with housing, you know, and they're comfortable having you share their contact information, send it along so I can start gathering this stuff together. And what I will do is I will, again, in the next week or so, when I hear back, I'll give you guys a little time to write back to me, I will send a note to Gabe with a list of folks who are interested in being on the committee. And as soon as he approves that we're officially a committee, you know, with committee members, then I will plan on starting to hold regular meetings, and we can start making some plans and probably start by planning some programs, because I think that's a way we can get started quickly and then work on some of these other areas. And I think that this could be very exciting, and Lord knows the need is there. So I think it's definitely an area where we can make a difference, and the great thing is too, is you know, when people say, well, what can CCB do for me? You know, that's a pretty big deal if we've got to act together in this area, because that'll help a lot of people.
Yep.
All right. Well, does anybody want to share any? Yes, Warren.
Yeah, this is Warren. I just want to thank Stephanie for keeping it real and bringing it down to the real stuff that's going on with people out there in the streets and people struggling with it. I just want to say that, you know what, sometimes it's an individual choice. But I chose to get involved with three different situations with three different individuals who are essentially homeless. One individual was homeless, and we found him a house. One individual was homeless, and a church found her a place. And a third individual was homeless, and that person ended up having to go back to – the person was in an abusive situation. We got her out of the abusive situation and back to her family. So, sometimes it's a personal choice of being – you know, it's really not – I mean, me and Sheila, everyone – most people know Sheila. We choose to actually engage with folks. And that's not – it's something you have to think about, because it does involve your personal life. And you do have to – think along those lines and make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And do what works for you, your situation. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And also, you know, when we talk about helping individuals, it means kind of figuring out what's going to work for them and not a one-size-fits-all solution. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and Frank, this is Stephanie. I'll throw in that subtle nuance piece of housing that Warren and others on the call, Sarah, you know, and again, others on the call that I don't know, but you know who you are and you know what you know about housing. Sometimes programs that are bridge programs to help people with housing have other requirements. This, again, just keeping it real, as the kids say, you know, there's times when these programs say will help, but if you're dealing with a substance issue or if you're dealing with a XYZ issue, then we can't help you. And that's, and I'm not here to criticize that or place blame or to, you know, do anything more than just point out that those of you who are more versed in housing than I am, you know the subtle nuances of these programs. So I will tell you, as a new person to housing, concerned about just the reality of the expense of housing for people who may be able to pay some but not all, all of that, that it would help, I think, early on in this committee's formation to have maybe one or two workshops just to get us ready and prepared to be on the ground helping whomever we help. And I apologize, I have a call I need to take, but thank you so much, Frank and everyone.
Well, thank you for being on board. You shared a lot of good information.
Yay, Stephanie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Stephanie.
This is Linda.
Yes, Linda.
It seems like maybe at times, or maybe every time, I don't know, but it seems like maybe we would want to have an intersection of the housing committee working alongside the crisis committee. I'm not sure if the crisis committee is still functioning, and I would like to be on that. And I would like to be on the housing committee. I like grassroots things where there's action and you can provide almost instant service to somebody, or at least encourage them. I would like to be a part of that.
Yep. Great. Okay.
It's been really great, Frank.
It's been a very, Frank, very, thank you very good much creative discussion.
Yeah.
I just want to say yesterday's leadership discussion about housing, we should, I don't have the names of the folks in front of me, I wish I did, but we should consider contacting them at the federal level. They were they gave a lot of tangible information. It wasn't just a lot of talk.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to the podcast and getting notes on that.
Great stuff. Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
This is
thank
great, everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Have a good, wonderful topic. wonderful.
And don't burn your houses down.
Really?
Good night, folks.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night. See you all in the board meeting tomorrow night.
Night, y'all.
All right.
Good night.